AM 1160 The Quest welcomes you to Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues, primarily legislative issues in the Georgia General Assembly, but also some national issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Issues critical to restoring and protecting a culture that enable families to flourish and the kingdom of God to advance. Your hosts are Patty DeCraney and Jane Robbins. Jane worked at the Georgia Legislature and has maintained her connections there, so she's plugged in under the gold dome. Now, here's Jane and Patty.
I am your co-host, Jane Robbins, and today I am without my co-host, Patty DeCraney, who has a conflict, and so she won't be with us, but she'll be back next week. This is our second show covering the 2026 Georgia legislative session, which began on Monday the 12th and will go until early April. So before we get started, let's invoke the intercession of the great St. Thomas More, who chose martyrdom rather than betray the law of God. He is the patron saint of lawyers, politicians, and our show. St. Thomas More, pray for us. Now, today, I am happy to be joined by my dear friend, Mike Griffin, who is the public affairs representative for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Now, I got to know Mike, some years ago, I don't know how many years it's been now, but down at the Capitol, because he represents the Georgia Baptists in throughout the state at the legislature. So he has also been a great friend of our show, and he has joined us before, so you may have heard of him. But Mike knows everything at the Capitol. He knows what's going on. He knows who's doing what and why. So, Mike, welcome.
Oh, it's great to be here with you.
So tell us just a little bit about your background, Mike.
Born and raised in Georgia, South Georgia. I've been up in North Georgia now for about 33 years. Pastored for 35 and a half years in the state, two churches in the north, two in the south. Started working at the Capitol in 2008 as a lobbyist with Georgia Right to Life. I ran for office in 2006 for House seat and lost. One pastor in South Georgia said that when Mike Griffin lost, Georgia won. So what it meant was, well, he's going to be a lobbyist now. And this is my 19th year down there.
Wow.
So eight was with Georgia Right to Life. This is my 13th year with Georgia Baptist. I know you're saying your addition's not working. Well, two of those years I represented both organizations at the same time.
I remember that, and I don't know how you did it.
Well, and I was still a full-time Baptist pastor. So I said between 2 and 4 in the morning, I was bored. I didn't have anything to do, but the rest of the day was pretty full. But I tell you one thing I've learned most about at the Capitol that really changed probably about 2014 was I realized that I felt like too many times I broke too many thumbs and took too many kneecaps out, politically speaking, that is. And I began to realize that I needed to change my MO to work with folks. God has blessed that and used that. I have done a lot of apologies to people through the years. And I realized that, you know, the only thing that can be sometimes worse than doing the right thing is doing the right thing the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And we're living in a day now, if we're not careful, people on the right and the left are so rude and so obnoxious and so derogatory. I think it's hurting the way we're communicating. And, you know, the scripture tells us that we're to speak the truth with love.
Right.
I think that's why we speak it, and that's how we speak it. So that's made a big difference, and probably the last 3 years at least, we've gotten more legislation that we were for passed than we were against, meaning we've been getting things done.
Well, that's one thing that I always noticed from working with Mike, that he was willing to talk to anyone in a loving way. I mean, even people who were firmly on the other side of an issue that we consider a deeply moral right. issue, but Mike never looked at this person as an enemy. It was
right.
always somebody that, well, let's sit down and talk about it, or
yep.
you know, let's go get some coffee and talk about it. He always treated people as children of God, and I think that does make a huge difference.
Yep.
Now, earlier this month, I believe, Mike wrote an article in the Christian Index. We will put that in our show notes, too. And he raised a lot of issues about what might come up at the Capitol this year, because still we're in the first week, and right now there's nothing really legislative going on. They're getting everything put together and listening to the governor and all this. But in your Christian Index article, you talked about what you think could happen and what things you would like to have happen. So Let's talk about some of that. First of all, tell us what good things happened last year, bearing in mind that this is the second year of a two-year term. So last year was the first year. So what happened? You mentioned the bills that we actually got through that you were happy about. So give us a couple of examples of that.
Well, when I look back over last year, again, we got more that, you know, we wanted passed, and everything that we didn't want passed didn't make it. You know, that we did, you know, like example, the gambling.
Right.
And that's been, we've been opposing gambling for about at least 15 years, even before I came down. And we've probably written over 20 resolutions against gambling. We just did another one.
Meaning the Georgia Baptist.
Georgia Baptist Mission Board, Georgia Baptist Convention. We do it at the convention. And then the other thing, and this is, I cut up, you know, more colloquial sayings, but this is like the gold truck going through Mayberry. This is big, okay?
I know the millennials. I know what he means. There may not be anybody else.
The millennials and Z's may not know what I'm talking about. Yeah. They can go to MeTV and figure that
That's
all out.
Right.
But it was really big because the governor promised me and a group of conservatives back in 2018, there were two bills that he would sign that got across his desk. And one was the heartbeat bill. Which did in 2019. And I literally said that to him a couple of days ago when I was in a meeting with him. I said, you know, you pretty much used all your sky miles to get that done. But you know what? He used his second group of sky miles. He was the straw that broke the camel's back that got the Religious Freedom Restoration Act passed last year, which is big for all of us, people of faith. And it was on the day that my 10th grandchild was born that he signed
it. Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, and it was just an awesome thing. And then to get a protecting girls sports. Oh my, that was tremendous.
Yeah.
And I testified three times on that. Georgia Baptist even had a resolution for protecting girls sports. And there were three basic reasons that we stood for that bill. One, from a biblical perspective, you know, God's created a man and woman. There's your difference. From a common sense perspective, if they dig you up 400 years from now and check your DNA, it's going to be the same the day you was born.
Yeah.
Just common sense that boys should not be in girls' sports. That, you know, and we have legislation that's been passed federally to protect our women in their sports, and yet it's being infringed upon. And then lastly, just a pure fairness perspective,
right,
whether it has to do with, getting awards or winning events, scholarships, whatever, it's just not fair.
And in fact, that was at the Supreme Court this week.
Yeah, they're working
argument
on
was
right,
in the argument was
again
Wednesday of this past week,
right,
I think. So yeah, those were definite wins. But let's talk about some other things, some other issues that we have dealt with on our show, and I know that y'all are interested in too. What, if anything, do you expect on the pro-life front?
Well, you know, as I look at the legislation that we're pretty much thinking about is HB 350, which we call it the baby box bill, which we already have legislation that allows a baby to be delivered to an emergency facility, a hospital. This is going to have a...
You mean a newborn, like the
right,
mother?
Right, a newborn. But this is actually going to have a... like a box or whatever that the baby can be put in. It has different types of electronic things there, so that within 5 to 10 minutes, boom, somebody's going to be there. It has to be within 30 days of that child being born. It goes into foster care immediately. That's just another opportunity. You know, one of the big things, and it depends on where you're at, but from a 60 to 80% scale, whether it's statewide or nationally, abortion is now being done through chemical, through the abortion pill.
Sure.
And since the COVID situation, Biden administration, the FDA and all that, you know, there basically are little to no regulations on it. So now it's being delivered to people. I had someone talk to me about it, ordering it from overseas the other day, and they got it. Telemed, all those types of things. That was not true when the heartbeat law was passed. So there was not any of those strict regulations regarding the pill part. And I think we need to work on that some. I know there's some folks that are wanting to go with 100% ban on abortion, and I'm not for, and Georgia Baptist is not for a single abortion ever. However, we have to save as many lives as we can till we can save every single life. If a house is on fire and you can't save everybody in the family, I think you would run in there and save as many as you could. And so culture, you know, the politics is downwind from the culture. But the culture's downwind from the church. Mm-hmm. And we can make the biggest difference on the culture. And as that culture changes, we're going to get better people in office and better legislation passed.
And I think that has been the Archdiocese's position for some time, that
right.
just because the bill doesn't shut down every conceivable abortion, it may do good. And so yeah. you take it and you continue to work
right.
to get to a political situation where people agree
right.
that abortion should not be happening.
Yeah, every person is born in the image of God, and it's worthy to save one child if you can, but you want to save them all. And it's, you know, we maintain the same moral principle that murder is wrong. It's wrong to, you know, kill an innocent human life, whether it's in the womb, whether it's out of the womb, whether it's in a petri dish, IVF.
Right.
Which now I've heard statistics may be higher, more babies dying as embryos than are dying in abortion clinics, possibly, because, you know, they're creating 12 to 15 embryos and only two or three are being implanted. Five to eight are going in cryopreservation. The others are either destroyed or they're used for, you know, for research.
And so we actually did a show on that last year with Dr. Kathy Raviel. So if anybody's interested in listening to
that,
go back to our page on thequestatlanta.com. Now, another issue, you talked about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which we got passed and signed last year. Is there any other bill on deck dealing with religious freedom that we should be aware of?
Well, one that we weighed in on and were for was Senator Blake Tillery introduced SB 57 entitled Freedom of Speech and Belief Act. And most people may not realize that there has been some, banks and other types of institutions that have been banning certain accounts because they didn't agree with their conservative or religious views.
Right. Debanking, and, I think it's
yeah,
what they're
debanking.
Called
And Alliance Defending Freedom is behind this bill. I talked with one of their attorneys. I was in communication with one of them. They were supportive of it. Tennessee passed a law just like this law here, but it did not make it last year, and so it's still alive. I think it actually may have gotten voted down in the Senate. I'm not sure. Or maybe it was either tabled. But that's the thing. And I understand there may be another one dealing with some medical issues that may be coming up as well.
Okay.
But it hasn't been dropped yet. But, again, the fact that we have the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is tremendous because we're going to have a strict scrutiny standard and that, the government has to have a compelling interest to try to impede upon someone's religious rights. So we're glad we've got that and that we can continue to use that even if we don't have any other laws.
All right. You are listening to Legislation Made Simple on AM 1160, The Quest. Our guest today is Mike Griffin, the public affairs representative of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. So, Mike, let's talk about gambling. This is the perennial issue that comes up year after year after year.
Yep.
So tell me what is going on? What happened last year? You've mentioned that none of the from your point of view, bad things happened. But so right now, do you expect any movement on any particular bill? What's happening?
Well, like I said, last year there were five bills, including the constitutional amendment and enabling legislation. A couple of bills were introduced to try to put sports betting into the lottery, which everybody knows that when the lottery was passed, nobody was thinking about sports betting, and there was no sports betting in the 1980s when that happened, except for maybe in casinos. And then they're trying to put it on a ballot or whatever. And I give you three arguments for what they're using to try to do sports betting, pari-mutuel wagering on horses, destination resorts, which is like putting a ribbon on a pig's tail. You know, it makes it look prettier, but it's still a pig, you know, which is casinos. And they just had a special committee that met over the summer and into the fall. I think they had four hearings. I was able to testify in the first one. That was the first one to testify in the hearing, trying to expand gambling.
And but, when we're talking about sports betting, we're not talking about just, you know, kids betting each other for on a game. We're talking about the online.
Yeah,
what is referred to as predatory.
Yeah, we call it state sponsored predatory gambling. And I told him, this is a big difference between you and your friends sitting around drinking some Cokes and eating peanuts and playing poker one night together. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that either, but that's not what we're talking about. Okay. We're talking about state sponsored predatory gambling. And one of my areas is child protection policy. And one of the areas that's key to children being threatened, is the grooming process. That's where they, you know, they seek to get them to where they will do something. And when you have state-sponsored predatory gambling, there's a lot of grooming going on in the public to get them to gamble. You're being targeted. And, you know, so there's three reasons why they want to promote it, even whether they have a high moral standard or not. First of all, they said, well, we need to legislate it in order to regulate it.
Right.
So if we will legalize it, we can. Well, I'm like, I literally said in the committee, well, then are y'all going to legalize fentanyl? Are y'all going to legalize prostitution? You know, well, you're going to legalize human trafficking. Do you think that'll help human trafficking?
Yeah,
you
regulate
know?
It.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll just regulate it. And I'm thinking, you know, I've already seen the data from even the UK that's all a placebo on social moral issues like that. And tax revenue, oh, we can get some money off of it. We'll make money. Well, I already know one professor who's already testified two or three times for Congress that for every dollar you raise, it costs $3 to $5 in social expense to the government. So you may, oh yeah, you're going to make some money, and the industry's going to make a ton of money.
Oh yeah.
But when that $1 comes in the door, $3 to $5 is going to walk out the back door. So I don't know about you or me, but if I was in a corporation and I was losing $3 to $5 for every dollar I invested, I think I'd quit putting those dollars in there. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, let the people decide.
Yeah, that's the big one.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Now
constitutional amendment.
Pilate saying, I need to wash my hands. Let the people decide if you want to crucify Jesus.
This is y'all's decision.
Yeah. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, the legislators are put there by the people. We are in a republic, not a monarchy. And that means we're a representative republic. That means you represent the people. That means the first obligation is that legislator to accept the responsibility that I'm not going to let something get on a ballot if I don't think it's something good for the people to know. And, you know, and so it's just...
Plus when the advertising campaign for the voting for the constitutional amendment
stop predatory gambling says it will be outspent 250 to 1.
Yeah.
So you imagine if you're trying to get reelected and your guy running against you spent 250 to 1 on you, you're not going to make it. And also, how many state constitutional amendments that were put on the ballot have ever been voted down? It would 9 out of 10 probably get passed.
Because generally people think, well,
why?
If the legislature...
Well, they wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it if they didn't think
it was good.
I
literally heard this said in a Senate hearing back in 21, I think it was, or 22, about recreational marijuana, and the senator said, we can't put that on a ballot because we can't take a chance of that getting passed. And what that means is the average citizen can't get as granular with issues on legislation as a legislator can and should. And so... You know, I literally said this in the hearing this year in that special gaming committee they had. You know, I talked about in the book of Romans that it talks about the fact that God created government for good, not evil. And the AJC actually quoted me quoting the scripture in that hearing about how God's the one that came up for government and that government should not promote anything that's going to be evil on its people.
Okay.
And you just, again, you can't be pile it and wash your hands, you're going to be responsible.
So do you think anything's going to happen this year? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but...
Well, it's never over till a certain size lady sings. So, I mean, you know, it's not... I'll tell you at midnight on the 40th day. Mm-hmm. So anything can happen till it's over. But if I were to tell you what I think, I don't think it will. I mean, I just had a quote here from Matt Hatchett, who introduced legislation within the last week of the session last year, and his bill had a second hearing. And
this was one to introduce sports gambling through the lottery.
And through the lottery, it got its second reading, therefore it was assigned to the Higher Ed Committee in the House. And when he was quoted about what we was going to do about the bill, he said, Hatchett told us the bill is not on my mind at all. Well, now he heads up the Appropriations Committee. And of course he said, let me get back with you. All that's on my mind right now is the budget. But I did not see any co-sponsors on that piece of legislation.
That is significant. So anyway. Well, and I would point out that Pope Leo has weighed in on this in the last few weeks, saying that gambling has become a real problem and that it can destroy families. So this is not the kind of gambling that, as Mike said, your Thursday night poker game. This is something else, and it has a very deleterious effect. Now, you had another category in your Christian Index article that was entitled Child Protection. So what kinds of bills are you watching?
Well, we had a number of bills. I think we had 12 of those at least last year, and I don't think any of them ever got passed. And if I had to highlight three or four of them that I think we need to focus on, there were two pieces of legislation dealing with AI child pornography. And, you know, and what is needed is that those people creating they're not literal children. Child porn is illegal, but the AI part, see, there's not an actual human being. But if you know, I'm not looking at any of it, but I know now I've seen things on the internet that look like a human being. You can't tell the
difference. No.
Mm-hmm. And the point is that there should be felony charges for someone creating AI child porn as if it was an actual individual, because you're creating child pornography, even though you may not be using an actual child's face on it.
Right.
You could be creating it.
And it creates such a horrible environment for families.
Well, that's where your
children.
Sexual predators come from online now. And it unfortunately, it cultivates an environment for sexual predators even greater.
So is there a bill about AI child pornography?
Yes, there are two of them. First one is by Senator John Albers. It's SB9. And the second one is House Bill 171 by Brad Thomas. I think that's the one that's probably going to be moving much more quicker possibly this year. That's one of those areas.
Okay. What about the obscenity? There's a library bill.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's overwhelming that I could take a same book that has obscenity based on what is the definition in our law, and I can hand it to a child on the street, and I'd get criminally charged. But I can hand that same book to a child in a library, and it's okay.
Because the law has an exemption for libraries. Right?
Yes. And see, in the 1970s, I understand that's when Georgia really came up with their laws dealing with pornography. And so a lot of things have changed since then. And Senator Burns, who is dealing with that bill, is SB 74. I literally talked to him a couple of days ago. You know, he tried to work that out to make people understand that he's not trying to throw librarians under the bus. Okay. And so we're making it where, A, you have to know, you have to be knowledgeable that there is that kind of material in your library. And then you would be charged because you knew it and you did it. But if you didn't know it, secondly, once it happens one time, I think it's just a misdemeanor. I think the second time, it's probably a felony or whatever. But and also, if the parent does it, they can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. you know.
So he's tried to amend the bill to make it more protective
more pliable,
of librarians.
And, yeah. and it's something better than nothing, mm-hmm. but also to let them know that it's not an attack on the library.
Right, right.
It's a protection on the child.
And so this bill passed last year, didn't it, in the Senate, right?
It passed the Senate, and yeah. it got held up. It's now held up in the House.
In the House, so it's still alive.
Still alive, okay. And we're hoping to get that. Mm-hmm. And he may go back and try to get it with its original bill that has mm-hmm. more of the stricter regulations yeah. on it. But I mean, the last time we had a hearing, I think it was me and one or maybe two other people that testified, and there may have been like 12 or 15 librarians.
Yeah, but the American Library Association that we've talked about.
They came out of the woodwork.
Yeah, they will come, but they hate all of those laws. Okay, just mention briefly the puberty blocker bill.
Right, and that bill is so important because we've already dealt with the hormone type therapies and, you know, the surgeries.
For children who are identifying as the opposite sex.
Right, it has gender dysphoria, yeah. minor, although there was some exceptions on that bill that we were not comfortable with. But this bill here had some amendments that were not friendly considered in it. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have to do some work on that. And
so it's still alive. We still could get
through
this.
It's still alive, and it should be a no-brainer because you can't get tattoos, you can't buy liquor, you can't buy weapons if you're mm-hmm. not a certain age. That's not yeah. discriminatory. That's safety,
right.
public health
right.
and safety.
Okay. All right. Yes. We are coming to the end, but I wanted you just – so there – might be some marijuana legislation this year. Nothing really happened. Do you have anything, just one sentence to tell me what?
Yeah, just to let you know that we're going to be continuing to shut the loopholes that we're having to deal with mm-hmm. on Delta 8 and 9, the THC type of things. And hopefully we're going to get something on our state that's going to mirror what has been done federally
right.
so that we can make sure that it's covered on a local level. I heard that on the federal level that you won't have local law enforcement officials enforcing it if you don't have a state.
Okay. So that may be coming
right,
up too.
Same thing with cockfighting. You know, Georgia's yeah. the only state that doesn't have legalized that it's not illegal to cockfight, but our local governments are not being able to really enforce it because it's yeah. a federal law.
Okay. All right. Mike, this has been great. I feel like we have learned a lot, but I understand you have a big event coming up at the legislature. Do you just want to mention it so that our listeners
Yes, we're going to be
aware.
Having what is going to be called this year Georgia Baptist Day at the Capitol. We've been doing these for about 12 years. Sometimes we call them Pastor's Day, but it has legislative prayer breakfast that we encourage all of our legislators to come to. And Sid Breen, you know, if you've ever slid into home
baseball
base,
player.
You got to remember Sid Breen. David Barton with Wallbitter is going to be there to do our luncheon. But everybody's welcome to come.
And
it's
when
not
is
just
it?
Legislative. It's on February the 5th, mm-hmm. 7:30 to 2 o'clock in the Sloppy Floyd building in the Floyd Room. We are going to go over to the Capitol for tours for about an hour and a half and come back over.
So we were talking last week about the rope line. Mike will show you where the rope line
I'll
is.
I'll show you where the rope line. I'm not talking about getting hung. But we'll show you
All right,
that.
So we'll put the registration link in our show notes.
Absolutely.
And I go to that every year. It's worth it.
And anybody can come.
Anybody can come.
It's open to the public.
All right. Mike, thank you so much. And I wonder if you might close us in prayer.
Oh, I'd love to. Father, thank you so much, Lord, just to be a part of your plans and purposes for our life. And Lord, we just want to see Christ in the public square in all that we do and exhibit the life-changing power of the gospel and the love that you have for people by the way we run our government and our policies, and to be thankful that you've given us an opportunity in this nation that, Lord, our first responsibility, according really to Benjamin Franklin, was to participate. And may we continue to do that to make a difference for Christ in the public square and all we do. And I thank you, Father, for Jane. I thank you for the radio program here and the opportunity for us all to work together, Baptists, Catholics. I don't care who you are. It's our love for you and your church that we commit all to follow you in all ways. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
This has been Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Listen again next week at this same time for Legislation Made Simple on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.